fighting for America.
We will continue to call for the immediate release of detained U.S. citizens Saeed Abedini, Jason Rezaian, and Amir Hekmati.
Fighting for Idaho.
How sad was it in the streets of Paris as 40 world leaders walked down the street? Absent was the United States of America. Where was the president? Where was the vice president? Where was the secretary of state?
Fighting for you.
In this country, when it comes to medical care, we expect insurance to even cover the $4 aspirin. Yes. If you got into a fender bender every month, what would happen to your premiums? They'd go up because you're filing too many claims. You are now high risk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We're joined by Assistant Majority Leader, Representative Brent Crane with us, District 13 in Nampa. He's on the Business, State Affairs, and Ways and Means Committee. And before we get to the big topic that has been blowing up for I don't know how many years here in Idaho, the add the words issue, you know what, sir, part of our joy here, I guess, is that we get to hear from so many folks, and the issue of, you know, jobs, and pretty much people put it on the governor that he should be bringing in jobs, but the legislature has to work with the executive branch and trying to come up with economic packages. What's the perception of our economy, real life, as far as businesses coming to Idaho from the legislature? How are you all feeling about that?
Well, Kevin, I stopped and talked with Director Jeff Sayer from the Department of Commerce on Monday, and talking a little bit about some of the economic development packages that he has put forward for the governor, which, by the way, one of the brightest hires that the governor has made was to bring Director Sayer on, comes from the private sector, understands the private sector, very energetic, very enthusiastic type guy. And we were talking about the Opportunity Fund, a fund where we give $3 million so that he can go out and attract businesses to Idaho. He has some tremendous success stories of how things are going. Businesses love the way that we have the regulatory environment that we have here in Idaho. We're very business friendly. And so we're in a very positive position right now.
Well, that's good news. And we've talked to him before, and you bringing him up, we'll have to bring him back, Representative Crane. Add the words. I was amazed at the coverage. I'm amazed, in my opinion, how the media has embraced this campaign, seeming to be an advocate for the folks. But you were the only one that was chosen, or maybe other people spoke out against this during this meeting.
Well, Kevin, I made a commitment to the voters of District 13 when I ran. Clear back in 2006, I made it again in 2008, 2010, 2012,
sure,
2014, that I stood for traditional family values, and that I also stand for traditional marriage. And when I had an opponent running against me in May of 2014, I was asked this question: will you support Add the Words? And I said, no, I will not. And so in today's culture, in today's political environment, the citizenry is so frustrated where someone will take a stand, a strong stand on an issue, and then they get to Boise or they get to Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden that stand begins to erode or it begins to shift. And I'm not going to do that. What I say in Boise and what I say in Nampa is the same. And so I made a commitment to my voters. I'm going to honor that commitment, and we'll move forward.
What's the mood all of a sudden? The impression I got all of a sudden was that forget the hearing, the bill was going to be proposed already. And that's the perception I got by watching all the news reports and reading about it, but this was just a meeting to give them a hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Add the Words campaign has been around for 9 years now, and the Speaker of the House served notice to those of us in leadership in December that he felt like it was time that they actually had a hearing on the bill. What has been happening before is we've had a hearing on whether to hear the bill. And I know that may sound like a little bit of mumbo-jumbo to your listeners today, but there's a process, a legislative process that we have to go through. And the first part of that process is to have a hearing where no one but the presenter of the bill can speak. And they can talk about the merits of the bill, but those affected by the bill can't speak. And that is all that has happened over the last 9 years, is we've never moved past that process. And the Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke, said, you know, I feel like it's time that we allow the people that this bill would affect to have their voice heard. And so he said, I'm going to serve notice that I would like the House to have a hearing. And so we began to talk about the different strategies and different ways that we would do that. And we chose his committee, the Speaker's committee, which is Ways and Means, as an expedited process to make that happen. And then it will get heard in the full committee, its germane committee, State Affairs, I believe, not next week, but the following week.
In my opinion, we've talked about it here at 580 KIDO, haven't we rewarded people for breaking the law? I mean, they busted into the governor's office, they stood in the hallways, they hid in a closet, a bunch of shenanigans, and essentially they get what they want, kind of like in the old days when we were young. If you misbehaved, there were consequences. Today, everybody hears the kid cry.
Well, I don't think that we're rewarding bad behavior. There is some folks that are a part of that coalition that have made their voice heard in ways that I would not have done it or ways that I would not recommend. But I will have to tell you, Kevin, I've been very, very impressed this year with the way the Add the Words Coalition has handled and messaged and interfaced with legislators. I've been working with these guys and talking to the Add the Words folks for a number of years. But Senator Grant McGorn, Senator Shree Buckner-Webb have created an environment where it has been very polite, very professional, and I have been very pleased that we can have a disagreement or a discussion on a very sensitive topic and do it in a very professional way.
Well, until you disagree with them,
well,
number one. And number two, I mean, they blocked the doors. They made these allegations about Idaho being a bad place. And, if I did that, I'd be arrested and charged. And not only charged, I'd have to pay a fine. I don't know whatever happened to those folks. We had to bring in troopers off the street.
But
I mean, that is true. They did do that.
But I disagreed with them. When mm-hmm. I made my vote and said no, I disagreed with them. And having said that, I have reached out to them. I have a meeting at 10:15 today with several members of the LGBT community. And it's been very professional. I had one of them walk up to me yesterday and say, I want to lobby you on the bill. I heard her position on the bill, and I said, well, I respectfully am going to have to disagree with you. And she said, wow, this is great. I understand your position. And a fellow colleague was standing there, and she said, I can't believe how civil this was and how this was handled. So this year, the debate, everything has been very polite, very professional.
But we're just starting.
We're just starting. But I have already disagreed with them, and they have treated me with respect. I have treated them with respect.
Has that always been the case?
Again, in the past, there have been issues as to how they have addressed the process. Having said that, I'm not going to hold those mistakes in how they approach that process against them. I'm going to look at the merits of this legislation and make a determination on the merits of this legislation and the commitment that I made to the voters of my district.
Sure. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. State Representative Brent Crane with us here. A very candid conversation about Add the Words. Most folks, they'll say it on the radio, they may say it amongst themselves, believe that this hearing will be nothing more than shenanigans, nothing more than a lot of allegations. But on the other hand, the proponents of the Add the Words folks will say, I have been discriminated against. I have done this. Now, we've had those folks on, and they never really gave us any specifics on this. How concerned are you about this hearing?
I think Chairman Tom Lurcher has been around the legislature for over 20 years. You couldn't have a better man handling this type of a situation than Chairman Lurcher. He understands how to run a committee. He understands the national scrutiny, the state scrutiny that will be on this issue. You'll have a very fair, you'll have a very thorough, and a very professional committee process. Everyone will have the opportunity to have their voice heard. We're going to hear from everyone. We're not going to try to exclude anyone. If you have an issue you want to bring forward, pro, con, whatever, we want to make sure that this issue is fully vetted, and then the committee will make their vote and will live with the results of that decision.
I don't think anybody has an issue, especially the audience of this program, when we're talking about the committee being fair. I think that if folks, and like a lot of things that don't go our way, that if all of a sudden you get 3 minutes and you're going on for seven and order in the court, oh, boo, hiss, because these folks feel passionately about this issue. That's got to be a concern. You might not say that to me right now, but that's got to be a concern.
No, it's actually not a concern. I have sat with Chairman Lurcher. He has a different perspective on this type of an issue. Now, it's up to him to set the rules. He can say, look, I'm going to give everyone 3 minutes, or he can say, look, if you want to talk for a half hour, you can talk for a half hour. Chairman Lurcher and I have talked about this issue before. He does not like to limit debate or testimony on a particular subject. He has done it in the past. I do not know what he will do on this particular issue. But one of his points he made to me, he said, Brent, this is the people's house. Our job is to serve the people, and their voice needs to be heard. And I have absolute confidence and trust in the way that he will run that meeting, that everyone will feel like when they left that, you know what, whether I felt like my position got voted in favor of today or not, the process was fair. And that's what we're responsible for, is to making sure that the process is fair.
Well, I think personally that if I want to start lobbying people, I'm going to go post up some pasty notes up there, post-it notes, and start getting in the doorways. Of course, I'll be stuffed and cuffed. That's my opinion here. But
certainly,
let's talk a little bit about traditional family and your stance against this legislation that you've been very honest about. Look, they've lobbied. You've gone back and forth. Hey, I made a commitment. Unlike other folks, I'm going to keep my word here. Tell me why that's important.
Well, I believe that, the traditional family, a mother, a father, is the foundation and the fabric that holds our society together. And I believe the family is extremely important and plays an extremely important role in keeping a normal society in place. And so whenever you begin to look at legislation potentially that will undermine the family or will redefine the family, what is the family, I think you have to proceed with caution. And I'm not comfortable with this legislation.
But then the name-calling commits.
Like I said, Kevin, I have been extremely pleased. My wife and I were just talking about this last night.
I'm with you this year. It's early, but and everything's gone their way. But let's go to the last year. We had former Senator LaFavor on talking about this, that, and the other. She was afraid to come in here. Now, I'm a lot of things, but come on. I'm about as intimidating as a cream puff. And just like you, we wanted the dialogue. And what has happened in the past, look at the folks that disagree with the governor when it comes to his stance on Idaho's Constitution protecting marriage. They call him horrible names on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. That has to happen. Maybe it's not the people you talk to, but it has to happen.
I'm optimistic that it will not happen, that we can have a civil discourse, that we can have a disagreement on this issue, that we can have a full discussion on this issue. And what I have seen so far this year has led me to believe that it will continue in that fashion. Now, when last year when we had some antics that you have referenced, I actually went to leaders of this group and I said, that is not effective at all. And I think that you guys need to think about how you are addressing the process. There is a proper way to address the process. And so far this year, I have been very impressed, and I anticipate nothing different than the way that they have conducted themselves this year.
What's the mood on this bill? Or this hearing to have a hearing to have this bill?
From the proponent's side, there's elation and joy. There's great excitement and anticipation.
In the cloakroom.
From those that are in opposition, no one is afraid to have the hearing. Everyone is ready to have the hearing. And I think that the speaker made the right call in saying now is the time. Let's have the hearing. Let's let them have their day in court, so to speak, to make their case. And let those that are in opposition have their day in court to make their case.
Do you think, and again, Representative Crane at 580KIDO, you're on the inside, but do you think the overwhelming media narrative, this is historic, this is going to happen, it's a great day, it will influence politicians to make that a self-fulfilling prophecy?
There's no doubt that media plays a role in the process, and it can be a very influential role in the process. It is not going to sway my position on this particular issue, and I don't feel like that it will sway my colleagues' position on this particular issue, whether that's in favor or against. I think for the most part, people know where they're at on this issue. There may be a few that don't, but I think by and large, whether you're pro or whether you're con, you know where you're at on this issue.
Well, can a person who, like you, agrees with the traditional family, does not see a necessary need to have this legislation, get their message out on the big channels, in the newspaper, or will you be positioned?
You can. I think that the media is taken up with this issue, and they're very interested in this issue. And I think to be a good media outlet, you should present both sides of the issues to your listeners or to your readers. And when I made the no vote the other night, they were right there to ask me why. And so I was able to explain what my position was and why I voted no.
Representative Crane, we appreciate that. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. Anytime.
Good luck to you, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks for standing up for us. We do appreciate that.
Certainly. We'll do.
You're listening to 580KIDO. It's 819. Time.
A judge sentenced nearly two dozen Add the Words protesters in Ada County. Many were charged with trespassing after a series of demonstrations at the State House during the legislative session.
We disobey and then we take our consequences, and we understand there's a price tag involved.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay because I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight.
What we did very carefully. We knew we had to be perfect in how peaceful, silent, respectful, and focused on why it was we were there.
But those that like the same sex had the characteristics.
The Add the Words campaign cost taxpayers $24,000 for added troopers to respond.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
Sorry about that. Tone Loke there, Macklemore, Macklesnapper, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. By the way, how impressive was Representative Crane? Boy, that guy should run for Congress. He should run for Senate. That guy's got it going on. Addressing issues that we talk about here all the time, the hypocrisy of most of our elected officials when it comes to saying one thing and doing another. Big ups to him, and I understand that he's optimistic about the Add the Words issue. And look, it'd be great to have the Add the Words folks in, have some ministers in, and go back and forth. We're all about the dialogue. However, it's an emotional issue. We've seen it here in the city of Boise when we had, Chief Masterson and the crew speak in favor of the lack of a better term, the anti-hate law. Now, people in Idaho, if you're listening at 580KIDO, maybe in New Hampshire or Iowa or South Carolina or any of the first primary states, y'all have good states, but this state is great when it comes to people. You get spoiled. We get spoiled living in Idaho when you get on a plane and you talk to somebody and they look at you kind of strange. And I think that's where the spirit of this bill goes. My point is at 580-5436, $26,000. Who paid that? Who paid the $26,000 to bring in the state troopers? And I'm glad that they're behaving this year. But here's the big thing, and whether you call it emotional, economic, or legislative blackmail. They'll get the hearing, and the folks in the press, and look, I'm tough on the local press. I know that sometimes you have to carry the company line when it comes to certain stories and certain things. I get it. I mean, you talk about anybody besides us, you and me, that says, I agree with Representative Crane. Look, we don't want discrimination. We don't want hate. We don't want intolerance in Idaho. But we're here for America, the traditional families, right? And until you get specific about the discrimination that this law will address, isn't it just speculation, hyperbole? And you talk about a hearing. There's going to be a lot of emotion, a lot of hand-wringing. There's going to be people that are going to be talking about things that may be relevant, may not be relevant. My point is, you get the hearing. Does it end? No, of course it doesn't end. Whether you agree with the Add the Words folks or not, you give them this. 9 years they've been at it. And the hearing, that's another victory. And you go from maybe it passing, maybe it not passing to the Senate. The governor said that he would sign it. The folks won't stop until the words are added. Now, do they represent you? Do you want the words added? Do you feel a need? And again, I live in a bubble. Convince me, convince us that the words need to be added. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But I see the issue at hand where you have folks that are going to say, I've been this has happened to me. And it's funny, when I was in Pittsburgh, I would always talk about it. Maybe this is why I'm here. Thank God that I am. I would always say that racism doesn't exist in America. I'd always say that. I would say when it comes to racism, everybody talks about it. Al Sharpton, by the way, you can go to the The Kevin Miller Show on Facebook. If you follow our Twitter feed at 580KIDO or follow me personally, Kevin Miller Show, you will see Al Sharpton calling for an economic task force, an emergency meeting of his diversity panel, his diversity police, the diversity league, if you will, like the Justice League, because all the actors and actresses from the Academy Awards are all white. And a lot of people are mad. Isn't that racism? To me, that's racism. I don't see racism where I see, and God forbid people that disagree, I don't see racism where I see white people attacking black people anymore. And when I said that, I had a coworker start screaming at me during commercial breaks. I've seen reverse racism. Al Sharpton can say what he wants. Look, that's just how it is. You have a show on television, Blackish. Brad Paisley gets in trouble for saying there's going to be a show on television called Whitish. Racial issues, divisive, unfortunately. Unfortunately, they're wrong. As I said in Pittsburgh, look at the president, right? Look at our athletes, our entertainers, right? And then we take a look at this issue when we're talking behavior. And we're talking about, hey, here you have these folks that believe that Idaho does discriminate. That if they are LGBT, that they are persecuted. And they want a law to protect them. How many of you have seen this firsthand information? I remember when this first came up, and there were five crimes in the entire state. Five too many. Five too many. But does that mean that people in churches, people in synagogues, in temples, in other places have to rewrite their entire traditional beliefs? I like Representative Crane, what he's saying. I get it. I'm in favor of it. That doesn't happen. I hope that it does. I hope there's a great discord, a great dialogue. People go back and forth and share ideas, and life is wonderful. But if you're judging it by past behavior, I don't see that how anyone can disagree with my point. We've rewarded people for breaking the law. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, 40 degrees in Star, Idaho. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
And before we go to Washington to speak with Bridget Johnson from PJ Media, quickly we go to Julie with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Kevin. Wonderful show today.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about the add the words thing. I agree with your comment that it is rewarding bad behavior to hold this hearing.
So why do you think they're doing it? The media pressure? Politically correct pressure?
Well, I think you also hit on the answer to that. I think they're doing it because of all of the vitriolic anger from last year. And I believe what they would want to do is just say, okay, your problem was you didn't get a hearing. We're giving you a hearing. Where it goes from there is anybody's guess. But this is a very, very bad piece of legislation. It's very bad for Idaho.
Oh, I would agree with you, and I agree, as we've talked about, this just rewards people for breaking the law and running up state bills, and we're all going to behave. Well, we're all going to behave until we get something that we don't want, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, you can't legislate kindness, and you can't decide what's mean and what's real mean. What is the difference, and who's going to be punished for mean and real mean? It's really reckless economics to be forcing businesses to now have to worry about who they hire. The NAPs up in Coeur d'Alene now are being told by the ACLU, you can only do certain things in your business, and if you choose to expand to areas we disagree with, we're taking you to court. That's not right. This is America.
It used to be.
Well, yeah. But you know what we do? I think people need to come to that hearing, and I think people need to stand up and speak out at that hearing, and I think they need to get the facts about what's going on, because yes, there are times when people's feelings get hurt. There are times when people are treated without dignity and without respect, and none of us like that. None of us want that to happen to anybody. We all should be treated honorably. But this bill won't even address that. What this is a reverse discrimination because it's creating a special class
that
absolutely undermines equality.
Julie, thank you for call, and thank you for listening.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we appreciate it. The fallout over the president's non-trip to France continues. With coverage, Bridget Johnson joining us. She's the Washington editor of PJMedia.com. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Boy, this is a story that continues to go on, and whether it's Josh Earnest or anybody else, they can't seem to dig themselves out of this one.
Well, no, because they tried the tactic of, well, let's just kind of confess, and then maybe nobody will ask any more questions. Maybe it'll just go away then. Well, it just brewed more questions when they did that. You know, he couldn't even answer what Obama was doing on Sunday, how Obama did not know about the march to say himself, yes, I want to go, even though he spoke on the phone with President Francois Hollande before the march. And so just a lot of questions like that. Why Eric Holder did not stay in Paris to stay at the march. He did all the Sunday shows from Paris. He attended a security conference there and then didn't go. And, you know, why Joe Biden had to stay in Delaware all weekend. So there's a lot of questions, but also concerns that are sort of forward-looking as well. You know, for example, okay, so if you're upset that you missed this march and you wanted to stand in solidarity with Charlie Hebdo and Free Press, how come you didn't place a call to the Turkish president when they were raiding a paper that actually ended up printing four pages of Charlie Hebdo on Wednesday night?
Well, are folks concerned that the message being sent is, well, it's a lot of words, but not a lot of actions coming from this administration when we're talking about the threats against the free press?
Yeah, the concern about the message that it sent was kind of one of two things. You know, first of all, Obama's sending a message that he didn't care, or Obama's sending a message that he's afraid. And the latter, I mean, if you look at the crowd of world leaders that was there, obviously, there were a lot of assassination targets bigger than Obama there. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu, the king and queen of Jordan, you know, people that the terrorists would really love to take out. And we also know that it didn't get to the level of the Secret Service. The Secret Service, it would have been a challenge, but we could have thrown it together right away. So it's just kind of sending a message of apathy, and you know, whether there's fear in there mixed too, you know, neither is a good message to send to groups like AQAP.
Well, Bridget, maybe perhaps the administration has already, maybe this is extreme, but they've been very hard on whistleblowers. They've been very hard on people that try and cover them objectively, you know, when it comes to bullying the press. So perhaps they're not as passionate about the free press as we'd like them to be.
No, I've never seen an administration that got a report issued against them by the Committee to Protect Journalists on the lack of access and transparency for reporters at the White House. You know, this is also an administration that has been the target of formal complaints from the White House Press Photographers Association because they take official press photos and they just hand them out to the media and they expect that to be all that the media wants and don't let people have access to Obama. And then, you know, what we see every once in a while, we get a token press conference from him. But, you know, those turn out to be train wrecky. So, you know, the administration just kind of tries to, you know, shield Obama as much as possible. But that T word, transparency, you know, it came up this past week when Josh Earnest was being grilled about this decision. And their reluctance to give any sort of details on it and to just expect that everybody will be satisfied with their answers, it's a pretty bad operation over there.
It is indeed, and they seem to be tone deaf to this. I'm wondering what the international reaction. We have people, you know, that continue to go after Josh Earnest and such, rightfully so, when the person that they did send to this march was a bundler.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, nobody knew the name of the ambassador who went to the march except for the people at the DNC who got Obama's campaign financed. But there does seem to be a long-term vacancy at the White House for optics manager. It's just kind of one after the other. No, you do not go golfing after somebody got beheaded. No, you know, you go to this march, you stand in solidarity with other world leaders. Now, the French are, you know, putting a good face on it and saying, hey, you know, it's okay, we know you guys support us, et cetera. But, you know, also the truth was that the French ambassador in D.C. held a march to coincide with the Paris rally, and that was a 15-minute drive from the White House. And nobody from the administration was there. Christine Lagarde from the IMF was there, a few other people from the State Department. But, you know, that if you were actually concerned about, you know, throwing together last-minute security on a Paris trip, it would have been so easy to just, you know, drive over to the French embassy and say, hey, I'm here to support you.
Is there a concern among folks that cover the administration? I don't want to go too far with this at 580KIDO, but, Bridget, about their safety as far as what they can and can't cover? Is there a chill in the air?
Well, I mean, we've seen in this administration where even Bob Woodward gets bullied. And, you know, that happened pretty early on in President Obama's reign. And I think that sent, you know, a message, especially to young reporters, saying that, you know, hey, this is, you know, maybe a type of administration we haven't dealt with before, and we, you know, kind of need to dig our heels in. And so there's been a chill even with veteran reporters for a while that has not thawed at all. And to be honest, President Obama has made no effort to affect sort of a thaw like that.
Boy, gone are the old days of the Clinton administration, I guess, where everybody would kind of meet in the before the White House press hearing. What are y'all working on at pjmedia.com?
Well, one of the things that I put out today, and I'm hoping that a lot of people read it, is the myth of this core Al-Qaeda that the administration, especially this week, keeps pushing around and keeps saying that, you know, oh, but, you know, it's okay because we're still truly decimating, in the words of Josh Earnest, core Al-Qaeda. Well, the fact is, you know, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula took credit for this attack. The leader of AQAP is the number two in, quote-unquote, core Al-Qaeda leadership. He's the general manager. He can call attacks anywhere in the world. So these are not loosely tied affiliates, and we're somehow decimating the people in caves in Afghanistan and Pakistan. No, this is exactly what Al-Qaeda wanted. This is branches. This is franchises. This is, you know, instead of lone wolves, you need to think of it as knocking over a salt shaker, and there's grains scattered all over the map, and they're hard to clean up. That's exactly what Al-Qaeda wanted in Al-Qaeda 2.0.
Well, and speaking of Al-Qaeda, the follow-up to the final question here, Bridget, is what did you make of Eric Holder? Couldn't answer a simple question, are we at war with radical Islam?
Yeah, and then the White House elaborated on that this week, too, and said, you know, why they're not going to use the same term that the French prime minister used, saying that, you know, they're in a war against radical Islam. And Josh Earnest gave some sort of answer about, well, we want to call them, you know, terrorists who are at war with Islam because they don't follow its precepts. And it's just kind of gotten to the silly game of semantics now at the White House.
Well, Bridget, we appreciate you coming on. We'd love to have you back.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Bridget Johnson joining us, pjmedia.com. 8:51. It is wet. What about the weekend? Find out.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning here. 580KIDO, Liberal Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. What short memories we have as Americans when Bush was trying to go around to all the countries and get them on board to destroy Iraq and destroy Afghanistan, the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda. And France stood back and said, no, we're not on board with it. And we had a solid year of Fox News and everybody slamming the French, calling them cowards, and don't buy the French fries. Does everybody forget this? Now French has a little, France has a little blip in the radar where the citizens of France stand up, and all of a sudden the politicians are talking out of the other side of their mouth, Kevin. This is crazy.
You can talk for 40 seconds there, actually 49 seconds, and I can't hear a word you're saying.
Well, did you forget about it? You want to play some of the sound bites, Kevin? Have your
engineer something. Here you have the leaders of the free world that care enough to go there, and what does our guy do? He sends a bundler.
And
now that's commitment to terrorism. And then his attorney general can't even say we're at war with radical Islam. Now that's commitment.
Bush couldn't either.
We're not talking President Bush. We're talking President Obama.
So history doesn't matter.
Why are you so mad?
Put
on a happy face. I love the rain. Good morning, Dave. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Don't forget, we're always churning some great information on our website. Give me a follow on Twitter, @580-KIDO. Kevin Miller Show, keep the faith. KIDO.